Welcome to Stories with Straight Arrow. My name is Chief Straight Arrow, and I will be your guide as we travel the trail together. So let's get ready to head over to the council fire, where we will sit up straight, listen, learn, and never forget. Now, as we get ready to head out on the trail together, first, let's take a moment and stop at the trading post, and there, we'll see if we have any messages from any of our friends. It is a cool day here in the village of Onegasnibi, with a light rain falling. It will be pleasant for us to go into the trading post and see if we have any messages. There, inside the trading post, Louis will have a nice warm fire going in his fireplace. There on the table, we find that one of our young friends has written a question in to us. This friend simply asks, "How do you become a chief?" Well, that's a very great question, and I'll explain why. When the first Europeans came to this land, they confused the way that villages were run. They assumed that because a man was chief, his son would become chief after him. That's the way it worked in Europe. That's the way kings were chosen. But that's not the way it was done among the native people. The way it is done here is when a chief is too old to lead anymore, or he wants to stop and rest, the village elects a new one. That is, by popular vote. Several men who are qualified will stand, and each one is voted for. The one who has the most votes will then become the next leader chief. Furthermore, some have asked, along with this young man, could a woman ever be elected chief? And the answer is yes, that did happen. Although not often, women were sometimes elected chief. That even happened many, many, many years ago among the Massachusetts Federation. There was a woman that led that group of natives at one point. It's a simple question. It's a good one, and I hope this answer will satisfy you. Now, even though it's raining a little outside, let's gather our things, go outside, and get on the trail over to the council fire for today's story. It was now 2 days after the name change ceremony, and Black Crow sat speaking with Straight Arrow in his lodge. They had invited the village chief, Elkhart, to join them, and the three spoke together. Straight Arrow said, "If we intend on making trade for the beaver pelts that we have collected, we must soon head for Fort Stanley." The other two warriors nodded in agreement. "Who will go with me?" asked Black Crow. "For we now enter Long Night Moon, and our travel will be much more difficult." Elkhart considered this for a moment and finally said, "I will send with you 2 deers, Blackfish and Yellow Feather." Straight Arrow, thinking about this, said, I know that Whitewater and Small Bear would want to go. They are so anxious to serve others." Elkhart thought about this too, and he finally said, I really cannot spare them. They will be needed here in the village, for they grow stronger each day in body and in heart." "Then it is settled," said Black Crow. "With your permission, we leave for Fort Stanley at first light." Straight Arrow looked to his chief, who only nodded his head in agreement and said quietly, then let it be so. That evening, the four warriors who had been chosen prepared for the journey of about 4 days. They each took food, extra clothing, blankets, and a change of moccasins. And the beautiful beaver pelts, 12 of them in all, would be divided equally among them so that no one would have to carry all of the burden. At first light, they met at the council ring for any final instructions, and there, Straight Arrow was already waiting for them, along with Whitewater and Small Bear. At that point, Straight Arrow handed to Black Crow a note, which Louis had written for Pierre, who ran the trading post at Fort Stanley. Straight Arrow said that Pierre would understand the markings on the white leaf called paper, and he was to give it to Pierre when he got there. At that point, all of them gathered close together, and Straight Arrow lifted his voice to the great creator God. He asked the great creator to give the four warriors safety as they traveled the 4 days out and 4 days back. After the men had said their goodbyes to one another, the four struck off eastward toward the rising sun, there to follow the small river that would lead them to Fort Stanley and to the other trading post. Whitewater and Small Bear walked with the four to the edge of the village. They wished they could go, but they were glad to obey their village chief, who said they must remain behind. "My moccasins wish to travel with the four," Small Bear said as he watched them disappear into the hemlock forest. Whitewater looked over at his younger brother and said, "My heart, too, goes on the trail. But let us remember what Straight Arrow spoke with us about last night." "Yes," said Small Bear, "I remember. In the book of the great creator God, in the part that Straight Arrow called the book of Hebrews, we are told, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. I wish to be an obedient warrior, just as I see in Straight Arrow and Elkhart and others. My wish is to go, but my desire is to obey. For when we obey the words of our leaders or our parents, we make the heart of the great creator God glad." And with that, the two young warriors turned and wandered back into the village. In the area surrounding the village of Onegosnibi, small amounts of snow had already begun to fall and the ground was lightly covered. It was winter for certain. The long night moon had come. Still, in the light snow, Black Crow and his warriors had no difficulty in traveling. Walking in a single file, in order to hide their numbers, the four traveled on in silence, always following the small river and heading eastward, their eyes never stopping to scan the forest ahead and on each side of them. It was unlikely that they would meet anyone unfriendly during this time of the year, but one could not tell. Besides, there may be a bear wandering still, looking for food before he lay down for a long sleep. The days this way passed quickly. The camps were always pleasant and safe. That is, until the third day out. The group was now nearing Fort Stanley, and they could tell because there had been signs of activity on the ground, and all four of them had noticed it. On the evening of the third day, as they set up camp, they expected to be at the fort the next day. It was then that Yellow Feather said something didn't quite feel right. The other three agreed but they could not say why. It is almost as though someone who is unseen to us is watching us, said Blackfish. I think tonight we must stay alert. When their meal was completed, it was two deers that sat near a tree close to the fire, wrapped in a blanket. He would feed the fires during the evening while the others lay down to sleep. He faced away from the fire so that he could watch into the darkness. All seemed quiet. Finally, even two deers slept, wrapped in a blanket, leaning against a tree. It was deep into the night. Strange noises woke all four of them. The fire was now almost out, and the four stood together in the darkness, listening. They had an uninvited visitor. Thank you so much for joining me today at the Council Fire. I have loved having you along with me. If you would like to send a message or a question to the Trading Post, ask your adult for permission and then send it to askstraightarrow@gmail.com. I may choose your question to answer on the program. And finally, if you would like to support this program, you can find the link in the show notes. Once again, thank you for joining me, and I hope to see you next time at the Council Fire.